Like many of you, I'm a creature of habit. Each and every day, I do the same thing at the same time, no matter what. Now, most days, when I get home from work, as soon as I park the car, I walk down to the street and I check my mailbox. That's an old-fashioned way of receiving stuff from other people. Now, I do this because some days I find things that I'm expecting, like packages from Amazon or sometimes I find an unexpected letter or a postcard or a gift from somebody. But these days, what I've been finding as I go to the mailbox is an overabundance of unwanted political mailers. Maybe you've been finding the same thing in your mailbox if you happen to keep one too, but we have entered that detestable home stretch in our election cycle when our mailboxes and our TV screens and our social media are overwhelmed with carefully crafted political ads trying to get us to vote for one candidate over another. Now, I get that in some ways these political ads and mailers are a necessary evil. We're trying to inform our voters, right? But what I can't get over is how negative, mean-spirited, and downright hateful many of these political messages seem to be. Now, you don't have to be a genius to recognize that we're living in the age of rage, where people are willing to do and say just about anything in order to motivate people to get out to vote and to choose their candidate over their opponent. If you look around, it's really a shame to see the state of discourse in our country today and how low some people are willing to go to win by motivating people out of hatred and anger and by telling half-truths and sometimes even outright lies. What's even more shocking and sad, though, is how some Christian candidates play up their personal faith all the while engaging in mudslinging, slander, and scorched-earth politics. As Christians, where's the kindness? Where's the gentleness? Where's the need for compassion and understanding? Sadly, as we've seen time and time again, it's easy for us as Christians to cast aside the demands of our faith whenever it gets in the way of what we really want to do. It's easy to stop being a Christian whenever it's convenient to not be one. Instead of seeing our relationship with Christ as the cornerstone of our identity, in reality, many of us view it simply as another set of clothes that we can just as easily put on as well as take off. When those clothes suit us, great, fantastic. But when they don't, off they go and into the closet they stay. Sadly, as citizens of two kingdoms all at the same time, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man, we continually find ourselves pushed and pulled between competing motivations, desires, and even identities. And that's why it's so important to have routines and rhythms in our lives which reorient us to living as Christ calls us to live. We need a regular reset through which we can get our hearts, our minds, and our souls focused on God's glory and God's love. In many ways, that's what we experience through worship. We experience God's holiness, and we receive the encouragement and the comfort needed to live lives of purpose and lives of praise. That's what we'll be talking about this morning as we wrap up our sermon series, The Three R's of Worship, as we reflect on how worship reorients us to living as Christ calls us to live. And to do that, I'm going to invite all of us to read today's scripture out of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. If you have your Bible, you can, of course, take a moment to find your way there to Colossians chapter 3. And if not, we'll have the text right here on the screen in just a moment. So the book of Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we approach these holy and precious words today, it's important for us to begin by understanding the context for today's scripture. Now, writing to the church in Colossae, the Apostle Paul is helping them make sense of the new life they've come to find in Christ Jesus, and how that life is supposed to look different from the life they used to live. Now, admittedly, that's not an easy thing to do, because when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, not everything about us changes all at once, right? But rather, at the moment we believe, the Holy Spirit begins transforming us little by little, day by day, so that we can better reflect God's glory through our lives. Just as there is a gradual putting on of a new identity, there is also a gradual taking off of our old identity as well. And Paul uses the analogy of taking off old clothes and putting on new ones to signify the transformation we experience as people of faith. Because as people of faith, there are some old behaviors and beliefs that must be left behind in order to make room for Christ's love in our lives. Think of it like a spiritual spring cleaning. Before we can welcome in the new items, we've got to make room for them by clearing out some of the old. And in particular, Paul sees two main areas of our lives which need significant clearing out in order to make room for better behaviors. And these two areas have to do with our sexual relationships on the one hand and our speech on the other. Two central areas of human life, each with great potential for good, as well as great potential for evil. As Paul goes on to say, there's no way to reconcile abuses of the body or abuses of speech with the redemption that we found through Christ alone. These old clothes must be taken off, thrown away, and forgotten forever. There's simply no other way. Now, admittedly, once again, this may sound harsh, but as Paul goes on to explain, those old behaviors are so painful and problematic and divisive that there's no way to reconcile them to a life of repentance, humility, and faith. These things don't lead people closer to God. They push them further away. as Paul tells the Colossians. Sexual misbehavior can tear a community apart, as can malicious, mean-spirited, and abusive speech. These old clothes, they keep people divided and distrustful. These new clothes, on the other hand, they bring people together in a spirit of unity, trust, and love. When we come together as a church, these old divisions and problems must be done away with. Because we come to church, we come to a community of faith as people embracing a new life, a new family, and a new way of orienting ourselves towards God and one another. Now, we live out this new life in a new way by purposefully putting on clothes which reflect God's glory, goodness, and love through our lives. Here again, these verses from 12 to 14, where it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." If we're being completely honest with ourselves, there's lots of Christians today who don't see much value in these virtues. To meet the challenges of the day, they might argue, Christians need to be tough and strong. They need to fight battles and wage wars because our faith is under attack, and quite frankly, our kindness, gentleness, and compassion alone cannot get the job done. Friends, in spite of what we might hear over and over again, day by day, these people who think that wearing these new clothes makes us a wimp, they don't know the half of it. They don't know just how hard the Christian life is. Because have you ever seriously tried to forgive somebody who's done you wrong? Have you ever tried to be compassionate and patient with people who are anything but that with you? The Christian life isn't for wimps. It's a hard life that requires making difficult choices day by day. It requires a daily commitment to wearing our new clothes and leaving the old ones behind. It takes serious prayer and constant reorientation towards God's goodness, glory, and love. Paul goes on to say that when we let these new thoughts and these new behaviors take root in our lives, we'll start to see and feel more of Christ alive in us. And as we do, we'll naturally respond to his presence and power with unlimited praise. Listen again to verses 15 through 17. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." As we reflect on these challenging and holy words, it's important for us to remember the difficulty of removing the old clothes that we've been accustomed to wearing, as well as the great blessings which come by putting on these new clothes given to us by Christ. Because in the act of changing our spiritual clothes, we're reorienting ourselves to a new way of life that runs counter to the ways of our world. When we wear these new clothes, we can feel and experience God's presence in ways we never dreamed of. But even in those moments where we're clothed in Christ's presence and Christ's peace, we sometimes feel a desire to take off those new clothes and put on what feels comfortable, don't we? We like being gentle and kind until somebody doesn't do what we want them to do. We like being humble until somebody doesn't give us enough credit and praise for something that we've done. We like being compassionate so long as it doesn't expect too much from us. We like being patient until we're asked to wait just a little bit longer than we'd like to wait. And we like to be loving, of course, so long as that love gives us something in return. Yes, we like wearing the new clothes we gain through Christ, but without much effort, we can just as easily revert back to wearing the clothes we used to wear, the clothes that we're comfortable in, the clothes that are broken in and waiting for us right there in the closet. When we choose those clothes, though, our ability to give God glory, honor, and praise is significantly diminished. Because how can God believe that our praise is genuine if we're actively embracing our old identity rather than the new identity we find through Christ alone? Despite our best efforts, God can't be fooled. We can't trick him into thinking that we love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength when in reality, we're barely making room for him in our wardrobe. If we really want to give God all the glory and praise he so rightly deserves, he needs to see us in the right clothes. He needs to see us living out and embracing those beliefs and behaviors that draw us closer to his love. He needs to see us reorienting our lives to better reflect his goodness, glory, and grace. Now, as we've mentioned all throughout this sermon series, the best way to reflect those qualities is by drawing near to God in worship. Because when we make worshiping God with others a priority, we're not only giving God the best of ourselves, we're reorienting ourselves to living as Christ calls us to live. Because through worship, we encounter and we experience God's holiness and receive the comfort and the encouragement needed to live lives of purpose and praise. Try as we might, we can't make our old clothes fit this new purpose, can we? We've got to leave them behind and make room for those qualities, beliefs, and behaviors that allow us to better reflect God's glory and love through our lives. Now, while we acknowledge and remember time after time that worship isn't about us, we can be grateful that worship does change us. That's what God invites us to experience when we draw near to him with open hearts and open minds. We experience glimpses of his glory and love that radically transform how we choose to live our lives. Because in spite of all the things that our world has to offer, in worship, we find time and time again that the best life we could ever live is a life rooted in God's love for us. You know, it's amazing that even in those moments where we're so focused on God, God is laser focused on us. That's the kind of love he has for you and me. And that's the kind of love he wants us to share with others. So in light of that love, let's never forget to recognize who God is and why he's worthy of our praise. Let's never fail to respond to his love by living lives of purpose and praise. And let's never stop reorienting our lives towards him. Because the more we do, the more of Christ we'll see and feel alive in us. Would you pray with me? God, we are so grateful to be together in worship this morning. God, help us not to take this type of opportunity for granted, because we know, Lord, that there are so many who would love to gather with their brothers and sisters in Christ to praise your name but can't. Lord, we pray for those who, because of health and immobility problems, Lord, that they are at home today when they would rather be here with us doing what we are doing now and bringing our honor and glory before you. God, we remember those across the world who are persecuted because of their faith in you, and who would love to be able to come together and open the doors to welcome others in, but Lord, they're fearful for their lives, and they're fearful for their family and friends. God, worship is a noble, holy, and brave act we do each and every week. As we set aside whatever else it is that's fine for our time and attention, so that we can come together in this place to give you all of ourselves. And God, we know that as we come to meet with you, you have come to meet with us, to speak into our lives, and to change us by the power of your amazing love. So God, let us not take these opportunities for granted, but rather, in coming before you and giving you our all, give us some of you. Give us some of you so that we might be reoriented to living as your Son calls us to live. And as we live those lives, may we be willing to share that same love with others that we meet during our weeks. We ask all this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.